Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Stephen Lawson, president of One Passion Ministries. And four times a week, I teach through a portion of Scripture to encourage you in your Christian walk. Join me now for this brief devotion in God's Word. Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck. We're coming to you from Herb's House Coffee Shop here in Dallas, Texas. Kent, do we call this a coffee shop, coffee house? What do we call this?
It's both.
Okay, it's both. It's both. So you need to come join us sometime. We have the men's Bible study here on Thursday mornings. And this morning, we are in John 17, verse 23, Kent. The title of this is Perfected in Unity. And I think we learn here, as I'm about to read the verse, just how much Jesus and the Father prize unity in the church. And so he begins in verse 23, I in them and you in me. And so, Kent, I mean, he's almost lost us already right there. This threefold union that involves the Father and the Son and believers. And it really speaks to how tight our relationship is with the Trinity and how tight our union is with them, and that the life of the Father and the Son flows into our life, and that their joy, their peace becomes our joy and our peace, and their power just permeates into our life and becomes our power. Let me just read that again. I, Jesus, in them, all believers, and you, the Father, in me, the Son. And so just the profundity of that alone, Kent, is extraordinary. And then he says that they may be perfected in unity. And what that is saying is that there is a growing unity that we have and experience with other believers as we grow closer to the Lord. It really tightens our oneness together. So in other words, the closer you are to the Lord, Kent, and the closer I am to the Lord, the closer we will be to one another experientially. And the same is true in marriage, that the closer a wife is to the Lord and a husband is to the Lord, the closer those two spouses will be one to another, that our common point of unity is really the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so he says that they may be perfected in unity. And the idea is that we become progressively, experientially, one more and more and more as we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he then adds, so that the world may know that you sent me. And so as we grow in our unity and are perfected in unity, it sends out a strong message to a watching world of the power of the gospel, on how it's brought so many people from different backgrounds and different walks of life to now be one in the church and to be one in Christ. I mean, Kent, that kind of a unity wasn't that way when I was in college. When you were in college, we hung out with people like ourselves. But when we now come to church, we're with people who some of them are like us, but probably the majority are not like us. And as we pull together and believe the same truth and work together and have the same mission, it sends out a powerful signal to a watching world that God's at work in this place, and that there's something about this message that they are preaching about the gospel. So he says that the world may know that you sent me, and that refers to the saving mission of Christ and coming into the world, and loved them even as you have loved me. And so the love of God is made known in the world as we are perfected in unity. And as we then give a witness, it gives validation to our preaching, our teaching, to our message. But if we're just backbiting and clawing at one another and can't get along with one another, the world goes, well, why should I believe? They can't even get their act together. Why should I believe their message? But as they see this being welded together and fused together relationally and ministerially, it does have an effect upon family members that are lost and neighbors that are lost. And as people come to visit at church who don't know the Lord, it's kind of a stamp of validation. There's something here that's more than what meets the eye, that God is at work in this place. So, Kent.
So, Steve, not to oversimplify it.
No, please do.
Okay. No, but what's the connection then with our vertical relationship with God?
Yeah.
And our horizontal relationship with each other?
Yeah.
How do we prioritize that? And how does that, how does that play out? And does it play out in a spiritual sense? Can we maybe not be walking with the Lord like we should vertically and still have great relationships? Like, how does that, is that what you're saying here? That they think it's being,
Well, there's a priority here, and you've really raised a great issue or a great point, that the vertical, our relationship with the Lord, is the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God.
So does it mean, what does that mean? Does that mean spending time in our Bibles?
It does. It means being in the Word, having the Word in us, being in prayer, being in church, being in fellowship.
So that's the priority?
Yeah, that's the priority, being in worship. And when I am loving God with a greater affection and devotion and loyalty and allegiance to God, it spills over into the horizontal, and it gives me a greater capacity to love other people who are around me, really as kind of the afterglow of my love for God. So the greatest thing I can do for you is for me to love God. And the greatest thing for you to do for me is for you to love God. And then we can love one another with an even greater unconditional love.
All right, so take it one shelf lower, put it on the bottom shelf.
Okay, okay.
How does that work? You're telling me that if I've really spent a lot of time in the Word, maybe in the morning or in the evening, then that's going to impact when I'm with Amy?
Absolutely.
All right, how does that work?
Because as you grow to know the Lord more, He is increasing, you are decreasing. And you are becoming more humble. You are living in greater submission to the Lord. And that now affects how you approach other people that you now, that carries over, spills over. I'm going to consider your interests more important than my own. As God is forgiving me for my sins, I now will be forgiving you when you have sinned against me, because I am very aware of the holiness of God and my need to confess my sin. And God is so quick to forgive me. That's how I need to be towards you, towards others, when others have offended me or not been what they should have been. I have a greater capacity to forgive because I've been forgiven. I have a greater capacity to be long-suffering because God's been long-suffering with me. So, yes, there is a direct correlation. And that's why Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow.
And so he pulls those two together, almost like the heads and tails of the same coin, yet there is a priority in the former, which is to love God.
You know, you and I both know John MacArthur, and I think of what strong preaching he has, but in his personal life, how kind
unbelievable
and gentle
Yeah.
And selfless he is with his family, with people around him. Don't you see that? Is that that's amazing, isn't it?
Totally amazing. I don't know anyone kinder and more gracious to waitresses in restaurants, yeah, to flight attendants on airplanes, interfacing with people.
The love for his wife, waiting, yes, hand and foot on Patricia.
Yes, yes. The loyalty that he has to his friend.
It really confirms the truth, doesn't it?
It does. And I have seen him be so loyal,
yeah,
to those, yeah, that he considers a friend, mm-hmm, and willing to overlook even some of their faults.
Yeah, yeah.
And really to...
thinking too much of people almost.
Yeah.
Too loyal.
Yeah, exactly. And so I need to be like that. And yeah, Paul did say to imitate him as he imitates Christ. And we do need people who are out ahead of us, who are an example to us. As they follow Christ, we need to follow them following Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's really what discipleship is. It's the influence of one person on another, yeah, as Christ is influencing them. Mm. Well, wow, what a great devotion this has been. And we need to be perfected in unity. And the idea is an ongoing, continual oneness that we experience with the Lord, then therefore with one another. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I hope this has been a blessing to you. It has been for me. I know it has been for Kent. So please tune in and join us for our next episode of Steadfast Hope. And you can look at the bottom of the screen, onepassion.org, and all of these resources are available to you free without charge. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Steadfast Hope. If this was helpful to your Christian walk, please leave us a review wherever you listen to this show. And if you want to connect on social media, I can be found at Dr. Stephen J. Lawson or at One Passion Ministries. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will join me again for the next episode of Steadfast Hope.